My name is Ryan Corey. I'm the senior economist with Mercaris. We are a online organic commodity market information service, as well as we run an online auction platform connecting buyers and sellers of organic commodities.
With your latest report coming out, you're taking a deeper dive into the organic livestock space and their demand for feeds and commodities here in the U.S. Ryan, can you share a little bit more about this latest report?
Yeah, essentially in this last report, what we did was we took a few different samples of livestock data from the USDA and looked at how those numbers have grown over the past year. And what we were able to, the perspective we were able to gain essentially reinforces the fact that we continue to have robust growth within the feed demand aspect of the organic sector. Looking at broiler slaughter numbers, I think looking at the 17-18 marketing year, we were looking at a 7% increase year over year in terms of the number of organic broilers slaughtered.
Organic poultry production has been growing pretty rapidly. How does that compare maybe 5 or 10 years ago and the kind of demand it's creating for feed grains?
You know, it's hard to take a perspective that goes back that far just because there isn't as good data. But what we have seen over the past 2 to 3 years is, I believe over the 16-17 year compared to 15-16, we had something around a 20% growth. And then 17-18, like I said, we had another 7% growth, which might sound like a smaller number, but, you know, you've got the principle of small numbers there. It's easier to grow small numbers than it is big numbers. So in terms of total volume of meal demand increase, it means a significant growth in terms of how much soybeans and corn and wheat are moving into the animal feed supply chain.
Did avian flu play into any of those numbers?
I don't believe so, but again, it's hard to say because we didn't have good data going back that far. One of the things that happened with the avian influenza issue that we had back, I think that was 2011, was that it primarily impacted egg layers and turkeys, not chicken. And that's because broilers are primarily located along the southeast portion of the United States, which was not down that main avian influenza corridor. But again, we can't say specifically what impact that would have had on poultry demand, just because we don't really have good numbers going back that far.
Keeping up this trend, what does that mean down the road for both the livestock sector as well as their demand for feed?
Well, I think what it means for the livestock sector is that we continue to see this trend of consumers making choices in which they're not necessarily consuming more food, but they're consuming food that has they're making considerations with respect to what their food means environmentally and socially in terms of what it means for farmers, their profitability, and how it impacts the soil. And so long as consumers continue to move along that trend, you're going to continue to see this expansion within, you know, chicken, dairy, eggs, these sectors of the organic that are really driving the growth in terms of demand for the crops, and that feeds back into the prices and the expansion of acreage. So that all paints a very robust picture moving forward for expansion of the organic sector.
Looking into some of those dairy numbers, some of the processors have kind of capped what farms could transition into organic. How have you seen that in the year-over-year numbers?
You know, in terms of year-over-year numbers for dairy, dairy is slowed down relative to some of the other organic sectors, though it is still one of the largest nodes and we still see growth within it. I believe coming out of the USDA number, something about a 2% year-over-year growth in terms of fluid milk sold in August of this year compared to August of the previous year. And so even with 2%, even though it's slower than, say, what we're seeing in eggs or within poultry, with dairy being one of the largest sectors of organic demand, it's still a robust place for growth. I think within the dairy sector, what we are going to continue to see is continued expansion into value-added dairy products, things like yogurts and non-fat dry and things of those nature that can go into baby foods, stuff like that, kind of like what we've seen in the conventional sector where we've moved past just butter or milk and we've moved into value-added dairy products.
Those value-added products, do you think the demand is being met, or is that an unmet demand by consumers?
You know, it's hard to say if the demand's being met or not because I'm not sure of how many products are out there within the market. My perception would be that if you started to see consumers or you started to see packaged food companies market these items, such as organic formulas, organic baby foods, you would see consumers respond to those marketing and those available products. But that is one of those things that you have to have the two sides of the market line up, supply and demand, before you start to see the capital investment that causes the creation of these things. Because a lot of these dairy products are very capital expensive to produce. So I think you will get to that point with it where, you know, investors and the sector starts to see that that's the next area of growth and you'll see those investments. But at the moment, it's still a slow transition towards that.
Any other takeaways looking at the organic livestock sector?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway within the organic livestock sector is that it is an important part of the organic sector in terms of driving what's going on with growth. One thing that we need to continue to focus on within the organic livestock sector is where they are sourcing their feed ingredients from. One issue we have within the U.S. is that we are at a severe deficit in terms of our organic supplies, that being that we have to import a significant quantity of our supply. And so long as we continue to see and we continue to persuade organic livestock producers to focus on expanding domestic supplies and show a preference for working with domestic producers, those are elements that are very important in helping to expand the domestic organic sector and can be a real engine for growth for the U.S. organic producers.
Overall, taking some of the growth numbers on the livestock side, what could that mean for additional acres or production needed from the feed side?
You know, I think what the livestock numbers show is that we continue to need farmers who are producing meals and high-protein feeds for livestock. If you look at where acreage has been in the past and where acreage has growth, you see that soybeans and small grain or and pulses, things of that nature that can be used as feed ingredients, they're not as abundant as, say, like corn and wheat and barley. Though those are also important crops, where we see the largest deficit is in those commodities. And so I think one thing that needs to be considered is what's causing that disconnect and what can we do to encourage organic farmers to grow more of these things that we are at a deficit for.
Ryan, any last thoughts to leave us with?
No, just in general, the organic sector seems like it's continuing to hold a fairly robust pace of growth. All in all, I think consumers are continuing to demonstrate through the number of or the volume of production of organic meats and dairies, how strong their consumer demand is and how much that growth is continuing. And I think it paints a fairly robust picture for the organic sector as we start 18-19 marketing year.